Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, this is pretty incredible. Richard Sherman has actually cried uncle. And we have the audio of him backtracking on the whole Baker Mayfield thing. We're going to do it coming up at 11:30. Before that, at 11:20, we're going to have our buddy Kevin Dunn on of the Horn down there in Austin, their sports radio station. We're going to do a different thing each day to get you ready for the huge Texas OU game that's going on this Saturday. So lots of great college football, lots of good pro football, but let's get into this conversation. We love doing rankings and power rankings. Mike Sando over The Athletic is the guy that brought you the multiple tier system where we evaluate quarterbacks. He gets every GM to weigh in. And, you know, that was where we determined that going into the season, GMs thought Dak was a high tier three quarterback. Some people had him as a tier two, but most people had him as tier three. So he was at the top of the tier three list. Well, what if we take some of this same application and put it towards wide receivers? Where is Amari Cooper? And here with more on that is Tizzle.
Very interesting, because he's asking, once again, coaches and GMs and things like that. Before we get to the specific, you know, where they're at on the rankings and things like that, what makes a number one wide receiver? What determines that? We always say that. We say, oh, he's an ace.
Or okay,
he's
let me ask you one. This. Let me ask you this. Do you have an answer, or are you asking what
I've got
and
some
ben
answers.
Think?
Yeah, both.
Because to me, it is a guy, a number one receiver, just putting it in its most simplest terms. You know how, like, they'll say, what is an ace? They'll say, it's a guy that you can hand the ball to and he'll end a losing streak. Like, that almost always ends up being the definition. To me, a wide receiver is a guy that the vast majority of the time beats single coverage and you have to put a safety on him.
I like that. Yeah, I agree. A number one receiver, somebody that requires a lot of extra defensive attention. It's a guy who requires game planning from the opposition. We got to figure out a way to stop this guy consistently over 1,000 yards receiving, over 8 touchdowns a year. Yeah, if he's single covered, he's going to eat your lunch. And so to me, that's probably a good rough definition.
Yeah, I think you guys both kind of nailed it. Here's what 4 GMs said. Okay, one said you have to double cover the guy the whole game. Mm-hmm. One GM said he's got to be a guy that can beat both man coverage and zone coverage.
Okay, yeah.
One guy said he's got to be a guy who can make contested catches, where if we're in a bind, we're going to throw it to you and he's going to go get it no matter what. Mm-hmm. One guy said he's got to win on the perimeter while also showing the speed and explosiveness to play inside in the slot. So I think those are very interesting how different teams may think about the wide receiver position.
Boy, that third definition you gave is real similar to the ace definition.
Sure.
We're in a tight jam. He's going to get the ball and save us.
All right, so here is the number one wide receivers. They start out with tier one. Tier one is the superhuman division.
All right? I like that.
This is, and this is the order that it's in. Julio Jones, number one still. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm okay with that. Are you guys?
Yeah. Okay with that. I mean, look, we're splitting hairs at this point.
Yep.
Yeah. And it says Julio's lined up in the slot 19% of the time the last 3 years.
Can I ask a question? How many superhuman do they have?
3.
Is DeAndre Hopkins one of them?
Odell Beckham is next. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can't argue.
Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
And he's in the slot almost 40% of the time.
Okay.
And then they move on to the human division.
Okay.
So 3 in the top tier. All right. Next tier.
Human's not a good name for that.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have done better with the naming.
It's disrespectful to DeAndre Hopkins. He's got 2 1,500-yard seasons.
Yeah, and they also just basically put him in the same category as us because we're all humans as well. It's, you know, it's not a good name.
One GM or an offensive coach said about DeAndre Hopkins, there are different types of number ones. Randy Moss was not a good route runner, and everyone knew it, but he was a one. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel about DeAndre Hopkins. I think it's interesting. Next, Thomas.
Well, hold on. To me, Randy Moss is a lot more like Julio.
Agreed.
Being the big giant guy.
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean,
Hopkins is kind of that way too, though. He's kind of lanky. You know, Julio's still massive.
Yeah.
You know, like he's
Randy Moss was like 6'5, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, what's DeAndre Hopkins? 6'2?
He's 6'3.
Is he? Okay.
Oh, he's 6'1. They got him at 6'1. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was on that level of tall dude.
Michael Thomas next. Michael Thomas. okay, in that second division. And then Mike Evans.
Yeah, I knew he'd be in the mix.
You kind of make the argument that Chris Godwin's been playing better at Tampa Bay than Mike Evans has. They throw to Chris Godwin all the time. All right.
That's because Mike Evans has seven dudes on him.
Now, this third group is called number one wide receivers, if you say so.
Oh! This is where Amari is.
Seventh overall, Amari Cooper.
Yep.
6'1", 225. In the slot, 20% of the time the last 3 years. Here's what is kind of written about him. One GM said, last year threw me off. When they were shopping him, you start looking at what's going on, and I think John Gruden got in his head. I think the guy is a number one. Another GM said, I would say he is a 1A. I think he's got good explosiveness. I don't think he's as strong or explosive as Hopkins, Julio, Antonio Brown. He's not like that. Those guys are on a different level to me than Amari Cooper.
Okay, have you guys been paying attention to the Jeff Kavanaugh criticism of him?
Yeah, and it's fair. I mean, he's basically saying if you don't hit him right in the breadbasket, it's not a guarantee. He's talking about his catch radius. Yeah.
Yes, and sometimes that happens with you know, guys that aren't of the 6'3 to 6'5 variety. The one thing, I don't know about going in there and evaluating all these individual guys that are ahead of him, but I do know from what we've seen, he is a brilliant route runner.
Yeah.
I mean, he is.
I've never seen better in my life.
He might be better than all those other guys as route runners. We don't know. I don't know that. But it could be that that's what puts him up there without having the great size and all that stuff is the fact that he is just so precise.
The release off the line, too. I mean, it's just, he and Davante Adams are very similar, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way they are able to get free. If someone wants to get in your face and, you know, chuck you at the line of scrimmage, like, no, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm going to torch you if that happens. I mean, look, Jair Alexander is going to be a really good corner in this league for a long time, and Amari Cooper torched him all day long on Sunday.
I'm so interested.
All day.
It really started when we were reading all those articles last summer about Luka Doncic's athletic ability being compared to James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so interested. You know, we've always measured the 40 time and the vertical and cones and all these different things. I am so interested in the aspect of athletic ability measured by balance. Because I would assume that precise route running,
yeah,
when you're going that fast and can quote-unquote turn on a dime, that has to do with mastery of balance and starting and stopping. And that is an amazing ability that I feel like hasn't really entered the whole athletic discussion lexicon until the last 2 or 3 years,
yeah,
or so, as we look at new ways of analyzing these types of athleticism.
So you look at Amari Cooper, he's a one. We all agree he's a one.
Yeah.
All right.
I think
whatever level of a one, whatever. We agree he's a one. Do we all agree that Michael Gallup, and I know he just got hurt, but do we all agree that that's a clear two?
I think
we're
so.
We're good moving forward? Because we went for years with Terrence Williams as your two. I mean,
right.
I know Cole Beasley was the slot guy, but
right.
I mean, the way he was viewed in the offense, Terrence Williams was the two.
And it was really, your tight end was your two, right? It was,
yeah,
one of those teams. Yeah, but Michael Gallup for sure is a two. I also think maybe he has the upside at some point. Maybe he could become a number one.
I like the way you said that. My evaluation of him at this point, maybe it's not fair. My evaluation is that I at least believe he's already better than T. Will, and I don't even know, mm-hmm, that it's close. T. Will had great speed and really good size, but we know what his limitations were. I feel like Gallup has more just receiver qualities, right?
And I think they play off each other pretty well. I think they complement each other. And Gallup's still improving at this, but Gallup was the number one at Colorado. Gallup was never the type who was just going to blow past you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would go get contested catches, and we're seeing him do that. You know, those tough ball. You know, the Kevin King thing jumps out from Sunday just because, like, he was just assaulted off the line, and that ball should have never been thrown. But, you know, he's done a really good job of getting his body a little bit bigger and has been stronger through the route. You'll see him win more on the outside and things like that. Where Amari, you can do so much with Amari with crossers over the middle and the slant route and just finding a way, no matter what, to just get open, to get a lot of separation. Gallup can win without getting a lot of separation.
Dude, when healthy, I can't tell you how much I love the combination of Cooper, Gallup, and Cobb. And then when you have that established, I really like Jarwin, too. Not that I sit here and I think of Jarwin on that crazy elite level, but he's tall. He's a really good athlete. He's got the ability to make catches. When the Cowboys are healthy, I feel great about Dak's targets.
I do too. And if y'all want to have a little fun, though, Cobb's here on a 1-year, $5 million deal.
Okay.
Would you guys be comfortable? Let's assume that we're picking in the 20s. Okay. NFL draft.
32, bro.
You guys okay going slot wide receiver type guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
First round, you guys okay with going wide receiver in the first round?
No. Not in the first round. Not in the first round. I think they definitely need to address it. They need to find that guy. But, you know, look, when they – and it's not going to be Cobb. There's things I like about Cobb, but just look at the Saints game. You know, when Cooper was locked up, nobody else was getting open. I like him as a complimentary piece, but I don't want to – he's getting up there in age. He can't stay healthy. It's time to move on. But this team has drastic needs on the defensive line. Like, they need defensive tackles.
Yeah,
you know, badly.
You know what I'd be okay with, Ben? If it was the right guy that you go, oh, my God, are we really going to get this guy at 24? I'd be okay with it, but then I think they need to really zero in on bringing in somebody like Sue for a year. Like, if they could get the same way they got Cobb, if they could get a Sue type next year, I'd be okay with it. But only if it's like, not if it's like, hey, we think this is going to be a pretty good slot. More of like, can't believe this guy is here. We kind of got to grab him, right?
So I love this player, and I think we all have, you know, a lot of mutual respect for the guy. But a guy who I'm kind of giving him the old Sean Lee treatment. I'm not building my team around counting on him. Is now Tyrone Crawford. So Tyrone Crawford would come back next year. He would have a $9 million cap hit. You would save $8 million if you cut him. You'd save $8 million on the cap. You would have $1 million of dead money. I would have $1 million of dead money before I had a $9 million cap hit on Tyrone Crawford if his hips are still jacked up and he doesn't play much going forward. Now, this year will tell us a lot about that.
Right.
And what your doctors think. But let's work under the assumption that Robert Quinn's not here next year. And let's work under the assumption that Randall Cobb's not here next year. I think we should do that.
I also think Randy Gregory, we should have been, you know, I thought he was going to be back.
Yeah.
They've gone super stealth quiet. That is not good.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on with him, at this point, just trying to read everything. I don't know anything. I would say this is problematic. He should have already been back. We're not hearing a peep out of that camp. So if Robert Quinn's not back and you don't have Randy Gregory,
I mean, defensive end seems like a draft need, doesn't
now
it?
You have massive defensive end needs and defensive tackle needs.
I started to think about that. I mean, I'm like, in my head, I don't know. I'm not trying to cut Tyrone Crawford today. I'm not doing that.
But I'm
talking about next year and projecting draft needs. But then in my head, I'm also going, is Dorrance Armstrong going to be my starting right end next year? Is that what we're doing?
I wouldn't be surprised if Quinn comes back. And I also think that Crawford is the kind of guy that will be back here on the Sean Lee plan.
I agree.
Like, I
100% agree.
I think he loves being here. Now, and the reason I'm saying that, we're all basing this on what his first 5 weeks have been like. And what his offseason was like. We're talking about an injured guy. So if Tyrone Crawford suddenly starts feeling great again and then surges, then someone will give him more money than the Cowboys would.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you get into that world, it's the kind of thing is like, hey, Tyrone, you know, based on your availability and the injury, you know that we're not going to pay you this much, but we want you here. And I think he's the kind of guy that would go down for that. But if some other team is going, hey, we'll pay you $3 million more, dude, he's got to go take that. That's just the way it goes.
Yep.
Great stuff. Great study, KT. All right, it's the Ben and Skin Show. It's 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for rolling with us today. Got so much good stuff still to go. But, Ben, let's get ready for Texas OU, baby, and let's do it with our buddy Kevin Dunn from The Horn down there in Austin. We'll talk college football next on The Fan.
It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, we're at Pluckers tomorrow. And we'll be at Pluckers in Dallas. We'd love for you to come have lunch with us. And joining us now is another one of our brothers from the Pluckers family. Now, he is one of the most talented radio hosts in all the land from The Horn in Austin. Here's our good buddy, Kevin Dunn. How you doing, Kevin?
Man, I'm doing great. Nice intro. I love it. Thank you, Skin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know it. Okay. Hey, listen, we got to die. And by the way, that was me giving you. That was Ben giving you the.
Oh, that was Ben. I'm sorry. It's already been one of those.
Kevin,
days,
hold on
so
though.
I apologize.
Ben was reading the intro I handed him, so you knew the words.
Right. He scripted that.
Oh, God.
He really did. No, we're good, and we love you. We love having you on the show, and really nobody better when it comes to Texas Longhorn football. So just kind of let us know. How high should the Texas Longhorn fan base's expectations be going into Texas OU?
Probably not as high as a lot of the fans here in Austin are as they make the trip up I-35. So, I mean, I would keep it relatively low. You know, the overview, I think we've talked about this, the big perspective on Texas football is really good right now, but they're so banged up. You know, I think if Jalen Green, their best cornerback, and then Caden Stearns, one of their best defensive backs, if those guys were playing in this game, and if they rematch this thing in the Big 12 championship, then my guess is that, or, you know, we'll see if those guys are playing then, Texas would have a much better chance. They can win this game, because we still have to find out a lot of things about OU, but I'd keep the expectations a little bit lower than some Texas fans may have it for this weekend.
Man, I am so blown away with, I haven't seen every game, but I've seen, you know, at least three of them. And the whole emergence of DuVernay being like this badass receiver. Did you realize going into the season that he was going to be as dynamic of a weapon for the Horns as he's become?
No, I didn't. He got a lot better last year. DuVernay's kind of funny because he's a guy, you know, he originally signed with Baylor, and then Baylor was having all those issues. But he was a track guy, so I thought he was going to be the equivalent of like a KD Cannon and really just, you know, blow the cover off the top of a defense and run a nine route, and that's about it, and probably not have great hands and be a track guy. He was the complete opposite. He was really stiff when he came in, and he didn't look nearly as fast or as quick as what you would have thought he would have been, but he hasn't dropped a pass in 2 years. He's got incredible hands, and this really last year he started to get a lot more comfortable. You saw chemistry with DuVernay and also Sam, and this year he's just taking it to another level. But, you know, a long answer for your question, no, I did not see this coming at all.
Okay, so is there a war of words going on? Because it looks like Samuel Cosmi was, you know, the Texas offensive tackle is talking a little bit of trash about the Oklahoma defensive line. I guess he was asked about him, and he said, I couldn't say they're super special, but they're good players. They're solid players, but not anything to worry about too much. Give us some context there. How should we take that?
That's a good question. You know, he's talking about Neville Gallimore and then also Ronnie Perkins. And look, Alex Grinch has done a nice job with this defense. I think last year we talked around this time, and I said I think Texas is going to win this game because Mike Stoops, it was so awful as a defensive coordinator. I mean, they couldn't even line up defensively last year. Well, Grinch has them lining up this year, and he's done a really good job with his front. And those are the front guys right there. Gallimore's a nose guard. He's had a really good year. Cosme's a better player than both of them. Sam probably shouldn't be talking that much. What he's saying is pretty accurate, though.
Kevin, you know you've done sports talk for years. You know this bit. I'm going to make you do it now. The Longhorns will win if what? And the Longhorns will lose if what?
Well, since I've been doing it for a little while, the Longhorns will win if they score more. No, I'm not going to give you guys that.
I did that with the Cowboys last week.
The Longhorns will win if they can dominate time of possession and force three turnovers or more. The Longhorns will lose if they're minus in turnovers, if they've got more turnovers than Oklahoma. They're going to lose this game. And also, if they can't protect Sam, I mean, Sam's going to have to be completely clean in this game. A lot of the way, and to get back to how Texas wins, they win this thing if they really just dominate time of possession, have long drives, keep Jalen Hurts off the field, and finish with six.
All right, we are talking to our buddy Kevin Dunn with the Horn in Austin, getting some perspective heading into Texas OU. Man, I am really embarrassed for Texas with this horns down thing. And I can't imagine that most Longhorn fans are really on board with this. But I guess Oklahoma, they're now saying, hey, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do the horns down. And we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want any penalties.
That offends me, Ben.
Who is offended by this? What the hell is this?
Well, I was about to say, I mean, I've yet to meet a Texas fan who agrees with this. So I've actually been pretty proud and not embarrassed of Texas fans because I've not met one that's like, you know, this is a pretty good idea. You know, I mean, it's not like it's soft enough already in 2019. We need to make sure. No, I mean, I haven't met anyone who wants this. I mean, it's college athletics. Have some fun.
Well, Kevin, we appreciate you, man. We always love having you on the show. I think we're all – hoping for the same outcome. I know it'll make your week better next week. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much. Anytime.
There he goes. Kevin Dunn.
He's great.
He's really great, dude. He's spreading the Pluckers love there in Austin. He's kind of our Pluckers homie.
Yep.
All right. So let's get into this Richard Sherman stuff, shall we? Ben, I thought you did a great job. You were killing the Richard Sherman Baker Mayfield beat yesterday. You had all the updates. Richard Sherman has gone on the air now. What is the show? The Pat McAfee
Pat
show?
Pat McAfee show on DAZN.
Is that the
DAZN.
Punter, the former punter?
Yes,
the big personality?
Yeah, funny guy. I'm breaking news that he has a show. So we have several Richard Sherman clips here. The first one, let's listen to what triggered him.
When we walked up for captains, like I walk up, I shake up, give a pat on the back to just about everybody. You know, it's kind of how I do it and, how I see it. And as I'm walking up to him, he's the next person in line. He's kind of just standing back with his hands down. And I'm like, and it's happening faster than you think it's happening. It's football. You always think everything's happening slow-mo. So, he doesn't take a step. He doesn't look to move up. So I put my hand out, just out of courtesy. Like, and he gives me a little petty slap on the hand. And I took it as disrespect because the way he was standing back, like he wasn't walking up and approaching like everybody else. So I was like, okay. And I already felt some type of way at the beginning. So it kind of reinforced what I felt. So once we got done with that, they call it and he just turns and runs off. I say, oh, okay. Okay, this kind of day it's going to be.
All right.
That's a super long day for him.
All right. Look, he said a lot there. First of all, I really like Richard Sherman. I think he's a super smart guy.
I do too.
I find him to be very likable. And a lot of people don't, but I do. I think he's really smart. Now, he said, going into it, I felt some type of way.
Yeah.
And that can hurt any of us. If you go into a situation with preconceived notions, a lot of times it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
This movie's going to suck, bro.
Well, then the movie's going
to
suck, right?
Mold it to fit your expectation.
He's going into it thinking, this guy's a douchebag. Oh, my God, look, he's not even stepping up to shake my hand. Well, if you watch the video.
He planted that flag.
Yeah, right.
He had already stepped up.
Yeah.
He was already stepped up to that point. And so I don't think Baker Mayfield did anything wrong here. And then for Richard Sherman to come out and say, he didn't shake my hand. I mean, that keep in mind, that story he told there with Pat McAfee is different than what he spread all over the place, that Baker was a douche because he didn't shake his hand.
Okay, now, Ben, think about this. Think about the kind of day Baker was having yesterday when all this story was breaking. Because I never saw, did Baker ever comment on any of this? Did you guys ever see
it? I didn't see anything.
Didn't see. Uh-uh. Pretty impressive but that he never did.
Today may be his first media availability.
That's true. I think he's been in, Richard Sherman didn't have media availability, but he kind of had to go out there and...
Most teams have Tuesday off and Wednesday's their first day, but
so,
yeah.
But he played in the same game Baker played in.
Yeah.
So listen to this. This is him saying, I didn't really mean to pile on the man's terrible day.
No, I didn't. That's why people were like, you made it such a big deal. I really didn't.
Oh?
I really didn't. I didn't bring it up in a press conference. I didn't bring it up in no huge live interview. But... Uh-huh. We were talking in the conversation, and it came up in the midst of a conversation about a number of things. And sure, it might have, sometimes you remember things a little differently than it happened. And that's, honestly, it still motivated me the same way. So when I saw the replay, I was like, that's different than I remember it. But in real time, it hyped me up and got me ready for a ball game. And that's all I needed.
Oh, my God.
Pretty great.
I had created a completely different narrative in my own head, and I was living that narrative.
Oh, my God. When I saw it, it was different than I remembered.
All right.
Wait for this next one.
We got, is this the motivation?
Yeah, we need to listen to both these next ones.
Okay, so here he is. He's looking for motivation with all of this.
No, where are you looking for?
Oh, sorry.
I don't know if I was necessarily looking for it, but you're always happy to find it. You know what I mean? You're always like, oh, yeah, there it is. You know what I mean? It's football. It's a rah-rah environment. So you find motivation where you can, and if you can find it in a coin toss handshake, then there you go.
There is that is kind of interesting to me though, because I always think about mentalities before the game starts and then what they're like after the game. There was just some legendary series in every sport where it's a bloodbath. I mean, dude, look at what they do at the end of a hockey series.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are trying to destroy each other physically. They want you to be injured and have to leave the series. Right. And then it's just they're hugging it out when it's all over.
Look, Sherman
Sherman is guilty here of trashing Baker Mayfield unnecessarily.
I agree.
And when the video rolled out and didn't support what he was saying, because the first story was he didn't shake my hand at all. Wow, Baker didn't shake hands? That is unprofessional. Damn you, Baker. Oh, wait, there's the video. He is shaking hands. Okay, well, Richard, he did shake hands. Well, but not the second time. Okay, the second time. Okay, so he should have shaken your hands twice in 30 seconds. And then so you watch the second time after the coin flip. Not all the guys did shake hands. Some of the guys took off and ran also. Okay, oh, okay, yeah, my bad. You know what? I may have made some of this up. You trashed a guy publicly. You told lies about a guy. And then you just, to his credit at least, he went on the radio and goes, man, I may have made some of that up.
Okay, well, that leads us up to, Ben, the apology. And before we get to this apology, I would like to laud you for your reporting on this story yesterday. I think you will get an Edward R. Murrow Reporting Award.
Yes!
I don't know if that exists, but you should get it.
I'll take it.
At least a macaroni.
A macaroni, because yeah. I enjoyed the reporting yesterday, and everything that you did on this beat led to Richard Sherman issuing this apology.
Oh, it's going to be a bit of both. You know, it's definitely my bad. You know, I never want anybody to have to deal with some shit that, I mean, some stuff that they didn't that they didn't do, you know? And so, you know, the questions that he's going to get and the annoying nonsense questions about some stuff that happened in a game that's already been done, you know, sure, he'll get an apology for that. I'll probably reach out to him via text or social media to actually get a hold of him and talk to him in person. I mean, on the phone. But
what?
But yeah, because that sucks. But first off, that was a great name y'all came up with, like Dapgate. I was crying laughing.
Wait.
But yeah, he definitely deserves an apology, and that's my bad on that.
There are like 50 people in there?
Yeah,
God, I did not know McAfee had a late night talk show. That was amazing.
The Zone is on the rise, everyone.
The Zone is coming.
Nobody's got that bumper sticker.
I did. What did he say at the beginning? I certainly don't want anyone to have to deal with something that they did not do.
Some S. Okay, so the AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text is always there for you to chime in. 877-881-1053. And this is what Richard Sherman is basically saying. This guy texted in. You know, and I know, Ben and Skin, that Baker Mayfield is an a-hole and he deserves everything he got.
Really?
Well, I'm not saying I agree with that, but what that guy's sending in is basically what Richard Sherman is saying. That's the situation that he walked into. It's that perception, and Baker's brought this on himself. If you're going to be wrestling villain, you can't get all butt hurt when people are mad at the wrestling villain.
Oh, wait. The thought was he deserves what he got. What he got were lies told about him.
No, I know, but I understand what you're saying. But what Richard Sherman is saying is, I went into this ready to hate this guy because of everything he's projected.
Comes with the territory.
And so when you project all that out, it comes back to you.
Oh my God, I just watched the replay behind it. That's fine. But this is what Richard Sherman brought into it. That's his baggage. Mayfield didn't bring any of that. Mayfield is standing up there. He reaches out, shakes Sherman's hand. Sherman just walks right by him. But he brought so many preconceived notions into that it was soiled from the get-go.
No, I agree, Ben.
I mean, but who yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Preconceived notions are what Baker's putting out into the universe.
That's fine, but that's not his fault. What he did there was not his fault. That was 100% on Richard Sherman.
I agree.
Richard Sherman went out and lied about him.
Yes.
And then said, man, I may have made some of that up.
Right.
He goes, it's football. It happens really fast. No, it's a handshake.
No, you're
it's
right.
Not football. You're not in the middle of a play. It's a handshake at midfield, and it... Dude, that was all fabricated, all made up, and all about preconceived notions. This guy's going to be a jerk. You know what? I'm going to say he was a jerk to me.
All right, coming up next, we have some amazing sports audio to sift through, including, good God, did Boog really say that on national television? We'll get into that next right here on The Fan. Here with a sports audio drive-thru is Kevin.
Yeah, I'd like to order up a combo number 9 here, Shippy, with fries. Ooh. Brett Favre goes on the Peter King podcast, tells a story about the fart machine. If you guys remember the old remote control fart machine, this is awesome.
I say this braggingly, had a fart machine and had 4 farts on it. So I had a fart machine with a remote control, Leland J. Rimmel. He was the PR director, longtime PR director for the Packers. Lee, how you doing today? I'm doing most certainly well. Great, Lee. What a weird dude. But I loved it. So we played the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football, Halloween night. It was awful, awful weather. We're loading the first bus. I always sat with our strength coach. I sat down by him. Lee always came in. He sat a couple of seats up from us, and Holmgren always sat in the very front right. Nobody ever said a word on the bus, which was perfect. No one needed to say a word. So Lee puts his bag under his seat. I slip that remote control module deal thing right on top of his bag, and I show Kent the remote control. He's trying his best not to laugh. And so we're going over to Soldier Field. The wind's howling. It's raining. And I hit that machine, and you hear, and you could literally hear a pin drop for a lot of reasons. The first and foremost was that Lee Rimmel's got the farts, and he doesn't know it. So I hit fart number two, and it's like, and but Mike Holmgren was sitting in the front right, and he's doing this. He was laughing so hard, but he would, I mean, it was all he could, it was the funniest damn thing ever.
Oh, that's great.
Pretty great.
Really great.
That's a kind of dad humor, 1997 dad humor too. The fart machine.
And dude, right after you're really lucky if when it fires off the fart machine, it triggers the bass on the wall to turn and sing Take Me to the River.
I hit fart number two and it's like
it's so great. It's so great because I can't hear him talk anymore without thinking of him, that one interview where he had all the drops. The screens, the accuracy.
Yeah. I like when he said down the field. he ran out of routes and said down the field.
But can he continue this? And I love hearing a guy go, yeah, I had a fart machine. It had four farts on it.
It's so great. He's 50 now. In that interview, he did talk about how he's starting to notice memory loss and things like that. Maybe that's everyone at 50, no. But hey, he's had concussions and things like that. He was talking about that.
At least he can still remember the fart machine.
Oh, my God. Just don't forget that, and you're all good.
Yep.
Shippy, let's go. Let's get a combo number one. I'd like to get a side of onion rings with this one. This
you
is
like
from
that value size.
Yeah, I'm late to this, but this is Booger on Monday Night Football. They showed this basically mic'd up Richard Sherman montage thing, and at one point Richard Sherman says, "Get freaky with it," to Dee Ford. All right, well, and I didn't play it because you can't hear it very well. Well, here's Booger explaining to everyone on national TV what "get freaky with it" means.
Oh.
Let's break down with America what "get freaky with it" means. It means whatever play you're making, continue to make it at a high level, i.e., get freaky with it.
What? I don't know if that's the definition.
I don't think that's really the definition. Guys, what it means is syrup is involved. I don't understand.
Okay.
I don't understand.
I'm going to a dictionary to find out.
Wait, can I hear that again so I can hear the nerdy way in which he thinks he's actually doing something?
Let's break down with America what get freaky with it means. It means whatever play you're making, continue to make it at a high level, i.e. get freaky with it.
Do you remember that song? I want to get freaky with you. So really it's a, I want to do it at a high performance level with you and keep it going and doing it at a high level.
I was like, high level? What is he talking about?
Did he think that he was real worried that maybe they said something shocking on the air and he had to nerd out and cover it up?
It was very strange.
So someone needs to have the whole hit and run speech with him. Jeez. Hey, if you really think it's bad, you're making it worse. But it's not bad.
From the windows to the wall, it means basically the square footage of a room.
If you do hashtag...
mesquite.
If you do hashtag Booger McFarland on Twitter, you will run into everyone just trashing him. It's
not
a worse broadcast.
It's not
than
a
it
good
was.
Moment for him, really.
It's a good look for Witten, though.
Yeah. It's a good look for Witten.
Witten is shining right now.
So I didn't watch all of this, but I did browse through it. This was the HBO series. You know, they're doing the Hard Knocks take on college football.
Mm-hmm.
And
is this a different combo meal?
The program this week is 24/7. It's called 24/7. It's the Florida Gators. We talked yesterday about Florida Gators. Dan Mullen, their head coach. Dak's old coach at Mississippi State.
Great Golden State Warrior.
Now, before we get into a little bit Dan Mullen, Shippy, I'm going to order up a combo number four here.
Oh.
They focused in on strength coach Nick Savage. Now, the strength coach, you can imagine a meathead, but he's constantly, I don't know if you guys.
The strength coach?
He's constantly in your face and yelling at you. So every time you hear him, know that he's about 2 feet away from a player, and know that it's also 7 a.m, okay? Here's Nick Savage, the Florida strength coach.
Let's go! 15! Hey, let's go train again! Hey, Clifford! How you doing? Ready to go train? Hi, Emery!
How you doing?
Muscle is not gained quietly in Gainesville. Not with Nick Savage, the team's director of strength and conditioning in charge at the gym.
Hey, locked in. Take a workout a week. Make sure I have two minds ready to go. Freddie, touch them up. Break them down. That's right.
I love developing young men, and they're only going to match what I put in front of them. So if I'm slow, I'm going to be tired. That's what they're going to be. Hey, Chester, come on, man. Look a little excited. You're going to get pumped up. That tattoo's going to be 3D tonight, baby.
God, so he's, to know.
He's Rex Kwando, right?
He looks like Bradley Cooper in Wedding Crashers.
Uh-huh.
You know, okay, he's all jacked up and he's like playing football and he's doing bicycle kicks. So you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, Shippy, this will be combo platter in this drive-thru. It'll be combo platter number 6.
Oh, that one turned
into a fart
machine.
Do you guys remember the Saturday Night Live character that Will Ferrell did when he was a news reporter, but he had the talking loud disease?
No.
Okay. And so it's Will Ferrell's character called the Loud Talker, and that's what this guy reminded me of, the Loud Talker reporter.
Oh,
and
right.
I have an example of that for you.
Our relations with China have long been shaped by a tug of war between economic interests and political ideology.
But hold on. Your voice.
My voice?
You're shouting.
How dare you? I have a voice-related medical condition.
I'm very sorry.
I suffer from voice immodulation, Tina. I'm unable to control the pitch or volume of my voice. Numerous prominent Americans suffer from this debilitating disease, Tina, including the guy who played Raj on What's Happening and tennis great Pete Sampras.
Jacob, I've heard Pete Sampras speak, and he doesn't shout all the time.
Pete Sampras has low-grade voice modulation.
I mean, the guy that always talks like this. I'm like, no, I don't want to go lift weights anymore. I just want to quit football.
So, dude, I'm telling you, man, as I was listening to that, I pictured Rex Kwando in those American flag pants.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah. Totally, man.
A little bit.
And dude, if you're going to create a character that's in your face, weightlift guy, you're going to name that character Nick Savage.
There's another clip where he's in the morning and it's 7 a.m. and they're going to lift and he's got an air horn and he's out front just going, beep, 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 beep. You ready to go train? You ready to go train?
I'm in on Will Ferrell as Nick Savage. Yeah. I would watch that all day.
Now, guys, as you know, I spend a lot of time browsing every local newscast in the entire nation.
Oh, that's tedious.
To find the best news bloopers. And it's, you know, it's October 9th, but I found the greatest news bloopers from the month of September.
Okay.
I've got a couple of them here I wanted to throw at you guys. Sometimes you're just reading a, you know, a teleprompter.
All the time.
The word you're trying to read, perhaps, or this news lady was trying to read, was prescribes. She was trying to read out prescribes. That'll be cut 7, Shippy.
He's used the clinic for the last 5 years. He said it is difficult for him to even walk without the opioids that his doctor prescribes.
Oh, no.
Oh,
prescribes. And then lastly, guys, let's end it with a bang. So this lady is doing the weather, right?
Prescribers.
No.
And she's got a graphic on, and the graphic says it's 13 days until the autumn equinox.
Okay.
13 days away from fall, but she's describing how warm it still is, and here's what happened.
And it's t-shirt weather today. Hot dog. Grab your t-shirts, maybe even a bathing suit today. So I know we are only 13 days away from the official fart. So what just came out of my mouth from the official start to fall this morning? 13 days away. I don't know what came. Ignore that. Just we're going to chug on through this. Okay.
Chug. What came out? Oh, listen.
She farted right when she said start.
So I was thinking a lot about Groundhog's Day. With Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah.
From the official fart.
Think about the whole community gathering around to see when fall's going to start and the official fart signals. and then fall starts as soon as somebody's on a platform and they fart and everyone goes, yeah! And then fall begins.
Favre's in the corner hitting a fart machine button.
All right. Great job, Kevin.
Well done.
Coming up next, what is everybody going to do if the Cowboys lose to these a-holes on Sunday? Oh, my God. There's going to be panic. We'll explore.
I hit fart number 2, and it's like.
Hold on, Brett. We'll explore it next.